Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to another edition of The Drift. In the studio with me today, we have some guests we'll get to in a minute. But as you recall, on The Drift, we go through the news of the week, current events, and give you some local perspective on national issues and state issues. So welcome aboard. You can contact me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com, or catch links at currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. What I do every week is give you the news that you're not catching on the national scene with the mainstream media. So contact me as you wish if you want to call in this morning, 734-822-1600. In the studio this morning are two guys who run the Michigan Pond Hockey Classic event, which happens in Whitmore Lake every year now for 6 years. And it's the president of the Michigan Pond Hockey Sports
Charities.
Okay. Sam Iaquinto, my good friend and partner in the Current. You've been on the show before. And Ed Gentile, who's the VP for the Charities. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry to get you up so early in the morning, but I'm glad to have you both in here for such a fine event which raises money for, well, I'm going to let you explain that. So, Sam, do you want to go first? What is Michigan Pond Sports Charity?
Michigan Pond Hockey Sports Charities is our official name of the entity that we started, which is a 501c3, to go ahead and funnel all the funds to youth athletics. We started this event 6 years ago in 2008. A couple people from the community came to myself. And again, as Gary's mentioned, I have several businesses in Whitmore Lake and thought up a nice winter event, which was let's go ahead and get back to the old-fashioned pond hockey games on the ice where guys can come out and go ahead and partake in an event, and we build it up and have something nice for the community. So 6 years ago when we started this event in 2008, we had the first year around 30 teams. This year we're well over 100 teams. They're seven-person teams. We've got seven different divisions for guys to go ahead and partake in. I've gotten a lot of names in the community, and one of them is Mr. Whitmore Lake, Mr. Mayor, and that's why, you know, these couple of people approached me. And so this event, we started it again. I love the community. I love building the community and doing different things that are going to help make the Whitmore Lake community a better place for people to go ahead and live in and come to. And this event has just become a really great way to showcase Whitmore Lake.
Yes, this is a great event. Ed, when did you get involved?
Involved about 3 years from an organization perspective. The second year I was involved, and I actually kind of have a really cool, unique story. I have a five-year-old, and when he was born, I have a couple really good buddies that played hockey their whole life. And as they had kids, you know, those hockey dads started to get their kids on the rinks. And I watched everything that they went through. And when my son was born, I said, you know, I want him to play this really cool sport because I really enjoy it, but I never played hockey. So when he was born, I started taking all these skating classes and worked with a figure skater. And I was bound and determined to at least be able to get on the ice in case my kid wanted to enjoy this awesome sport of hockey. I didn't want to be that dad on the other side of the glass because I had a couple buddies that, you know, that's how it was. I wanted to enjoy it. And all of a sudden, you know, I just, at the time, you know, I was 42 years old starting hockey. Right. So, and loved it. And picked it up really quickly. And that second year, I could barely skate. And put a team together with a bunch of my cousins, and we all got out there, and I was the absolute worst. But it was a great venue because no one really cared. You know, the stakes weren't real, real high, and everyone had a great time. And really, from that point on, you know, I just continued to get better and better, and now I'm playing in three different men's leagues, and, you know, I'm pretty good, or I'm a decent player, I should say, not the best, but, you know, given that I only picked it up 4 years ago.
Well, I feel your pain because I moved onto Whitmore Lake in 1996 and really didn't skate much as a kid.
Yeah.
Once or twice, maybe. I thought about playing hockey, and I know my mom and dad were like, getting up at 5 in the morning to travel late, that's not going to happen.
Right, you know? Right.
So I never did. So I started teaching myself to skate by doing my own rink on the ice, you know, and I would do that right when I lived on the lake. And I still have not learned to skate backward, which is a prerequisite for playing hockey.
It is.
I just
it
can't
is.
Do it. You
it
know?
Is.
But now finding the time is just
right.
brutal. But so I feel your pain. So now you guys are putting this is a huge tournament. I mean, this is big. I mean, last year we kind of got snubbed by the weather.
Right.
Yes.
But the year before, the tent down there on your marina site was huge. We had big screen TVs, we had the bar set up, we had
live bands.
I mean, you could watch hockey inside the tent outside. It was huge.
Right.
Well, the tent is 160 feet long by 50 feet wide. And we've had a lot of good growing pains, which is very good, to the point where this year we've got the main tent is 50 by 120, then with two side tents of 45 by 30 and another one 30 by 70. This is just for the entertainment and food. So, yeah, it has grown to be a huge not only participation event by the hockey players, and again, that's why we started it, but then also for the spectators, for them to come out and enjoy the ice not only during the day, but we have night games both nights, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, two years ago, you guys had 18 high generator lights
yes.
out on the ice. I mean, yeah. It was crazy. When you drove down the highway,
it was lit up.
You thought there was something crazy going on because there were, 18 rinks?
We had 18 rinks 2 years ago, yes.
On the ice with full lighting at night.
And these rinks aren't small. They're 75 by 150 feet each rink.
Yeah. Right.
So to put that in perspective, that's like a three-quarter sheet if you go into any of the indoor rinks.
Yeah. So it's just 75% of a real rink size.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that's huge. And this is, without a doubt, if you're looking for something to do, give us the first date. I know we're...
The 25th, 26th, and 27th of January, the end of this month in 2 weeks.
Okay. And people can go to MichiganPondHockey.com and stay updated. Now, there is the slight chance that we may
have to go to our backup date. We'll be able to make that decision this week, early this week. It all depends if, with this rain and warm weather, if the lake opens up. If the lake stays closed, we're speaking closed with perspective of ice over the top of it, then we'll be able to continue because there's a cold front coming in starting this evening that'll be in the teens each and every night, which
right.
will really help solidify
that
the ice.
It comes on quick. I know just 3-4 weeks back we had no ice.
Yes.
Excuse me. And now we've been covered for a week or so, and people are already out fishing. Now, I did notice in the news this morning, there was a guy on Beach Lake up in Livingston County went through the ice fishing. So fair warning to people, if you are out on the ice, you might want to wait for another week before
yes.
you get out there, because mm-hmm. in spots it can get thin and you could fall through. So don't make that mistake. And then also, what do they call the fisherman's rosary? You know, you put the two screwdrivers on those. You ever seen those?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
the picks, the ice picks.
The ice picks.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen those.
Wear around
yes.
your neck just in case yep. you fall in, then you can get yourself. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I thought you would know that.
You know, but, not being an ice fisherman myself.
Yeah, I keep saying I'm going to go do it, and I've done it once, and then that was it. So, yeah. Unless it's like warm enough to get out there, I really don't want to. We're going to move into a break, Derek. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Ed Gentile and Sam Iaquinto from Michigan Pond. See you on the other side.
Hello, Wham! listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
The National Institute of Mental Health reports that one in four adults will experience a mental health disorder in a given year. Untreated mental illness in the U.S. results in an average cost of $100 billion annually. I'm State Representative Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. Women in Government urges you to talk to your healthcare provider because serious mental illness can be treated. To learn more, visit womeningovernment.org. That's womeningovernment.org.
This is the Clarkcast with Matt Clark.
He doesn't wait, say what?
I don't think I've been on vacation.
No, definitely not been on vacation. No, definitely not been on vacation. So we had Barack Obama in 2008 say, I'm not going to take away your handguns. I'm not going to take your rifle. I'm not going to take away your shotguns. And of course, now you never let a good crisis go to waste, so now's the time.
Don't miss the Clarkcast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Here you are, Polly, my latest culinary creation.
These fish fillets look wonderful.
They are. I just used a small amount of a vegetable oil that's low in saturated fat.
Does that matter?
It does. Oils like canola, corn, and olive mainly contain monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, and they can help reduce bad cholesterol in your blood and lower your risk of heart disease and stroke.
How do you know?
The American Heart Association told me at heart.org/facethefats.
Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
They called us mad at the university, and you know, they were right. Theron here inviting you to join me for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Caballero.
What is this guy talking about? I think he just gave the winning lotto numbers. Hey, muy quiero cerveza, buddy. Join me for the week singing rock, hip shake, and soul music and the industrial strength, rhythm, and blues. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on WHAM Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to catch my drift this Sunday morning. In the studio with me, Sam Iaquinto and Ed Gentile of Whitmore Lake and the Michigan Pond Hockey Classic. Gentlemen, you were just telling me something I didn't know. You guys now have Red Bull as your major sponsor.
Yes.
And let's talk about, you know, this isn't just a couple of guys out on the ice playing hockey anymore. You know, I've been to just about every one of these, I think, and it's pretty intense competition. These guys take their hockey seriously.
They do.
These are guys that may have washed out of the pros or something, but there's also, and we'll go through that in a minute. But
yes, because we do have six different divisions, and so there's just
Let's start with divisions before we open the big news there that I want to get to. Let's start with the divisions in the hockey.
Yeah, so our top prospects or our top division is called the Masters, and years before we had it broken down even further to gold, silver, and bronze open divisions, and it was based on age group and skill. So we decided that it just made a lot of sense just to combine all three of those because all of those guys, you know, can skate. They can play. It's fantastic hockey. So we combined it into one division called the Masters. Then we broke it down into two other categories for age. So guys that are pretty good but really there to have a good time, and they don't want to be chasing a bunch of 18-year-olds around all day long. So we broke it down by age. So we have a 30 and over group. And then a 45 and over group. Those are the other two divisions. And then we have an open recreation. This is a group where it's just people that want to come out and have some beers, be on the ice. They're looking for the experience. And you can also have co-ed teams in that division. So it's just really just have a good time. And we have a ton of teams in that division. So it's really good to see that. I mean, it's great hockey, but it's also to see that people embrace this event, having fun.
Just want to come out and be a part of this awesome, huge event. Yes.
Right. So like when I started 4 years ago, that would be a division that I would have been in. Right. So, and then our last is our women's division. So, really strong turnout this year for the ladies. And, every single year we've had like just four teams. We're up to 12 teams this year, so that's great.
In the ladies' division, yes. Yep.
12 women's teams this year.
Yep.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, it is really cool.
And those are ladies of all ages. Yep. You know, we lump the ladies in the one category of that nature.
Okay, so the big thing is, the winner of, is it the Masters?
The Masters, yeah.
The winner of the Masters, what is the big reward for winning this year?
Well, so our event is actually broken into our group and then the Red Bull Open Ice group, okay? And and let me table the Red Bull for a second, but the winners of the Masters division, they get all kinds of swag from Labatt's. And we're a corporately run event from Labatt's, and they get hockey bags for the winners. They get fleeces. They get jackets. They get all kinds of gear for the winning teams. So it's a pretty cool thing. And that's not just for the Masters. It's the winner of every division,
yes,
gets these types of prizes. Of course, bragging rights, right? And then
and an awesome, awesome trophy. It's a one-of-a-kind trophy with a skate, pucks, and it's about a three-foot-high trophy. Yeah. I mean, it's
a vintage
awesome
throwback. Yeah, absolutely. So it's pretty
cool. For stinky ice skate.
You got it.
And it is a pretty cool looking trophy.
They had to have a beverage of their choice out of it as the winning whizzing team as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the winner of the Masters goes where?
Well, the winners of the Masters, they typically, I think what you're referring to is the Red Bull Open Ice. Okay. So the Masters is just that's our side of the house. Okay. That's right. Our tournament. So they really don't advance to go anywhere. But this year we're doing a very unique scenario with working with Red Bull and being the U.S. qualifier for their Open Ice tournament. This is an international tournament that they started about 4 years ago, and they have paired the champion of all of the U.S. qualifiers in the U.S. to play against the champion of the European qualifier champions as well. This year, they approached us and say, hey, listen, you have a very special thing going on there. What we would like to do is we would like you to host our event side by side, manage the whole process. We will become your sponsor, and we will have all of the North American teams come to Whitmore Lake to compete. The winner of that division then moves on and goes and plays in the championship game in Helsinki, Finland.
So the pond hockey teams from Canada and the U.S. must come to Whitmore Lake in order to play
advance
and qualify for the international.
For the correct championship, yes. Yes.
That's awesome.
And then, and then that team is all expenses paid trip to Helsinki, Finland.
Wow.
For, you know, for that European event.
Okay. Now, how many teams total do we have involved this year, locked in?
110.
Yeah.
And how many of those are the Red Bull?
There are over 20.
Over 20. So that's a lot of hockey.
That's huge. Yep.
You know, and this event, you can come in. It costs money to get into
the tent. Just vision this. So, you know, again, when we started, we had, I think, around 30 teams the first year. Right now, we have 110 seven-person teams. So that's over 700, well over 700 hockey players alone. And, again, because the event has taken off for the spectators as well to come and enjoy and watch a little bit of hockey, entertain, have some entertainment, and just be part of a huge winter festival in Whitmore Lake, we've had over like 1,000 spectators per day come alone and watch the event. And so they come into the tent. We have a very nice heated tent, lighted. You walk into a huge festive entertainment venue where we have large projector screens going on where you can watch the playoff games. You can football. You can watch the hockey games that are going to be going on now that NHL's back in and their lockouts.
You're not going to miss any of your weekend sports because the TVs are right in there.
Yes,
but you got the bonus of being able to walk outside. And this year, the beach is big enough to have bonfire.
Oh yeah, 2 years ago we had an awesome bonfire going on outside, and we'll have that again this year. And you know, again, it's just a huge festival atmosphere where you walk in. You know, we have a small pay at the door for the entrance to be able to
cover the band
because we have we've had some great bands in the past. So it's just, you know, it's awesome to come and partake in this festival atmosphere.
And this takes a lot of volunteers. You guys are all volunteers. How many volunteers this year are involved?
Right now we're well over 80 volunteers thus far. And that's key, Gary, because, you know, a lot of times people look at this and they say, all right, who's making the money? Well, nobody's making any money but the charity. Ed and I volunteer all of our time as the founders of Michigan Pond Hockey Sports Charities. All of the volunteers volunteer their time. There's no compensation that goes on to anyone. We want to, and again, we started changing the direction of the charity so that all of the funds, all the proceeds, go to youth athletics within the various communities that help make this tournament successful.
Okay, so Whitmore Lake.
Whitmore Lake,
sports,
you know, all of the sports for middle school and high school now are pay-to-play participation fee. And for a lot of families, it's very difficult for them to be able to cover $125, $150, $200 per child per sport that they play in at the schools now. And we understand that it's difficult for the schools to even continue having sports programs. So we wanted to figure out a way where we can help ease some of that pain for the families that really need it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we're basically kind of funneling all of the funds into youth athletics. Yeah.
And that's important because organized sports keeps a lot of kids out of trouble.
I mean,
let's face it.
Today's
kids got enough distractions as it is. And, you know, the discipline's not always there. But organized sports brings in an influence of discipline to kids that they may not get anywhere else.
So discipline,
if they're playing football
team,
or hockey or team sport, they got a coach who's normally a good role model to follow after. It is a good influence. So it's very important that these charities like this one can get involved and help organize sports. So that's a great thing.
It is. And again, you know, being a 501c3 through the federal government, any corporation that would love to give a donation, we'd love to talk to you. And you go to our website, www.michiganpondhockey.com. It gives you the individuals. Again, you know, the nice thing now, we have a great steering committee that Ed and I are part of. And again, we're part of this. It's not, he and I don't run it entirely by ourselves. We've got a great steering committee that helps. We've got a phenomenal person that if someone wants to be part of the sponsorship, Michelle Nettle is just a fabulous person that they talk to, that she deals with all of the corporate sponsors and really figures a way for them to fit in.
Right. Do you want to give a plug to those sponsors while you're here? You might as well plug them out. Who's some of your bigger sponsors?
We've got Labatt's. We've got Red Bull. Regal Recycling has been a big part of the event, and they really help us out with housing all of our equipment year-round. Ed, a couple other ones?
Yeah, Pirani's Hockey World. They've been instrumental in providing us volunteer jackets, you know, comping us. You know, they've really stepped up and done a lot of thing. Manplow Shovels donated $5,000 worth of shovels that we desperately needed.
Discount Tire, sponsor.
Yep, financial sponsor.
Domino's Farms.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're all listed on our website. So,
yeah.
Right, again, MichiganPondHockey.com.
And that's where people can go continuously this week for updates to find out if we have to postpone the event. And if we do, our backup dates are already scheduled, which is February 8th, 9th, and 10th. Same times. But, again, we funnel everybody to go to the website.
Even
our billboards. We've got billboards out now, and it directs everyone to the website for information.
Okay, and I'll put links on thecurrentonline.com and on thedailydrift.coms, and I can probably stick one on GaryWellings.com too for you, and get people to start paying attention. This is a great, great weekend to be up in Whitmore Lake, because Whitmore Lake is a great town. It really is. And, well, you both live
yeah,
there.
Yes. You both live yeah. there. Yeah.
And it's just great. So we're going into a hard break. Hopefully you gentlemen will stick around, and we'll talk to you after. See you on the other side.
On the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Another Hurricane Sandy relief bill is working its way through the House.
This is a new bill because it's now a new Congress, and it can't carry over legislation from the previous Congress. Part of the reason that House Speaker John Boehner had to torpedo the last package was that Republicans didn't want to approve $60 billion in new spending without matching cuts elsewhere in the federal budget. Republicans are now adding dozens of amendments to do just that.
Fox News Radio's Chad Pergram, House GOP leaders created an uproar when they scrapped a similar package on New Year's Day. Award season continues to roll along. Tonight, it's the Golden Globes honoring the best in TV and movies. Among the nominees?
Up for the best dramatic film, Argo, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Where was the last time you saw Bin Laden?
As for TV dramas, Breaking Bad, Boardwalk Empire, Downton Abbey, Homeland, and The Newsroom are all up against each other.
Fox Radio, Sabrina Sabah. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Who says there's no such thing as a growing newspaper? The Current newspaper has grown to more than six times its size since 2007. And you can grow your business just as The Current has done. Now get your business branded and your message delivered to thousands of homes and be assured that it gets read. Unlike monthly coupon mailers that go straight to the recycling bin. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. When you combine local news, common sense opinion, and great columns with the most affordable advertising rates in print media, your advertising dollar gets the most bang for the buck and your ad gets seen. Plus, your ad is also seen online for free. Go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com or call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. In the studio with me, Sam Iaquinto and Ed Gentile from Michigan Pond Hockey. Gentlemen, anything we want to finish up with on pond hockey before I drag you into the political arena? Since I know you both said to me, you know, we're not qualified to talk about guns and politics. My answer to you, of course, was, oh, yes, you are, because number one, you're an American citizen. Number two, you're both gun owners. So the price of coming on this show is to get your opinions.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
Is there anything else on pond hockey you guys want to cover?
Yeah. You know, again, I would love to thank all of the volunteers that have been with us year after year after year, because without the volunteers, this event can't go on.
Yeah, I remember, what was it, the first or second year the wind was blowing? It was like 25 below wind chills or something.
Oh, yeah. We've had every avenue, every venue you could think of as far as conditions with weather, and the volunteers have stuck with us, many of them, year after year after year, and we have new ones coming on board yearly that just – they see the event and they go, wow, we want to be part of this. We want to go ahead and give back to the community, pay it forward. And again, that's why we're doing this, and that's why we've got a great steering committee, is because we want to pay it forward. So that's just for myself. Thank you, volunteers. Thank you, sponsors, for being part of this, and come on and really see what this event is about.
Yeah, it's too bad more communities don't do this kind of thing, because it brings the community together. It makes money for the school sports programs and
yes.
things. And if more of that, and volunteering doesn't have to be drudgery.
No. I mean, it's fun.
It can be fun, like this tournament is fun.
We feed the volunteers throughout the entire weekend. We've got their own special warm area for themselves to come in and chill out a little bit and have some food.
And meet new people, make new friendships.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
It really is a pretty cool thing.
So people, you're still looking for more volunteers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll always take more volunteers.
Again, go to MichiganPondHockey.com.
There's a volunteer
get the
page.
Information, yep. And they can call you guys, and you can volunteer.
Yep.
You still need greeters, I assume.
We'll find something for a volunteer to do to be part of this event. Yes.
Right. Okay. It's a great, great event. Make sure you come out to Whitmore Lake. It'll be the 25th, 26th, 27th. Unless it's postponed because of the weather.
Yes.
But go to MichiganPondHockey.com and you can get all the information you need. And that's updated all the time.
All the time.
Also Facebook, yes?
Yes, we're on Facebook. Like us on Facebook.
Yeah, like them on Facebook or friend us.
Yes.
Friend you on Facebook. And, of course, you can always go to Gary Wellings on Facebook and I'll put a link on there as well. So, all right. So gentlemen, thank you for coming on. Let me take a quick second here and take care of the sponsor this half hour. Is the Current newspaper, CourantOnline.com, CurrentOnline.com. We print and mail over 30,000 papers.
35,000.
35,000
yes.
papers. We mail about 30 odd of those.
32,000.
To people's addresses via the U.S. Post Office. So we're doing our part to prop up the failing U.S. Post Office. So they can't blame it on us. We're doing our part. And
we keep one person employed at the post office yearly with our costs.
That's right. It's amazing how we've grown. The Current newspaper has grown from when I got on board in 2007. We were at 5,000, and we're now at 35,000.
Yes.
You know, that's growing seven times its size in 7 years. So, you know, as a businessman, if you want to get your message out in a print form, the Current is the way to go. And really, our prices are
very economical.
Very economical. We're too low.
Frankly. We are.
We're too low. And you can grow your business like we are. You can call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. Yes. And get in. Or you can go to CourantOnline.com, CourantOnline.com, and get the pricing and everything else. So
when you go to the Current Online as well, go down and scroll down to the bottom. Click on advertising information. It's we have 5 pages that comes up that tells you all the information you want to know, the demographics of where we mail to, the cost, this ad size, et cetera. It's a great wealth of information there.
Yeah, great way to get your business branded. It really is. You got to get your name of your business out to people. And the Current, you know, it's not like coupon mailers.
No, we're not a coupon magazine.
It sits on people's tables 3, sometimes 4 weeks until the next one comes out. It's
yes.
got a calendar in it, the whole 9 yards. So people actually read this. It doesn't
it's
go into the circular
Yeah,
file,
it's a newspaper. You
know? It's
yeah.
a newspaper.
Yeah,
community newspaper.
Yeah, and it's got great columns, great content in it. So, again, 734-323-0777. Okay, great. So, gents, the big news lately for this last week anyways, I guess, has been gun control. You know, ever since the Newtown shooting came out, we've had crazy talk from the liberal left about gun control. Oh, the guns are killing people. Guns don't kill people. They don't get up and shoot themselves.
They don't. You know, Gary, you know this, and you know my father well. My dad was a retired police officer. My dad, from when I was a child, told me, son, he taught me how to handle a gun, taught me what a gun was for, and he taught me always that, son, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Yes. And people will kill whether they have a gun or not.
Yes.
You know, the truth of the tragedy in Newtown is that crazy kid would have, if he couldn't have got his hands on the guns, he would have driven his mom's car through the kids as they got on the school bus. He
right.
would have found a way to hurt. That's what his plan was. He would have done it one way or the other.
His intent was to do bodily harm.
To children.
To children, yes.
Yeah, that's simple. But the liberal left, of course, has been, you know, within before the bodies were warm or even cooling off, the liberal left was out there saying, gun control, we need gun control. And this week, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who is a liberal nut job, frankly, just out there, started banging the gavel and talking about gun control at his State of the State address in New York. Derek, let's run track one and listen to this guy.
And I say to you, forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
Okay, well, I'm such a bad shot, I'd probably need a
10 bullets.
A magazine of 10 to get that deer, yes.
Well, and being a duck hunter, I mean, I'm limited to three, and I miss a lot of times.
Exactly. Well, the other thing was, and my buddy Mike made this point, you don't see people, someone said to him, I never see guys out in the woods with an assault rifle with a 10-round clip. What do you need them for? 10-round magazine. Let's not make that mistake. Right. Magazines, not clips. And, well, because it's against the law. You're limited to a 5-round clip in a hunting rifle, even if it's an AR-15 or an AK-47. And people do.
Right.
I've hunted with an AK-47 with a 5-round magazine in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a great rifle for shooting.
Right. Yes.
Deer. It really is. And so is an AR-15.
Yes.
You know what I mean? People don't just shoot deer with shotguns. I mean, somebody with a nice scope is going to go out and try the long-range shot, you know? So that's just pure nonsense. And in Cuomo's case, he's taken advantage of it for, let's run track two, Derek, and here's the reason why this guy is being so overly dramatic. Run track two.
Pundits say Cuomo's desire to lead the nation in gun control will serve him well if he decides to run for president in 2016.
He'll at least get ahead of the curve of Washington and in the news business and in politics. That's sometimes the whole game.
Okay, so here's Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, looking for his presidential run, taking advantage of the death of children. Taking advantage of the deaths of children. You want to talk about a scumbag. Frankly, I'm incensed over this man. Because he has taken advantage of this for his own presidential run in 2016.
Again, Gary, this is something you and I have talked about for years. Our society has gotten entrenched with these lifetime politicians that are continuously looking at self-gratification for themselves and a lifetime of what they're quoting as public service when it's just a lifetime of a position for them where they campaign year in and year out, looking for advancement in the political venue for themselves instead of being a true contributor to society. I mean, you look at our founding fathers. They would go in, they would serve our government for 2 to 4 years and go back
to their real job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what made our government great and right.
And that's the way it should be to this day. We don't need full-time legislators.
No.
At the state or federal level, we don't need them.
We don't.
Because you know what? We're safest when the legislators are not in session.
Yes.
That simple. But what's really heinous about Mr. Cuomo is the fact that crime in the state of New York and in the city of New York is at an all-time low. And yet he's banging the hammer to get gun control under. Derek, let's run with track three, because you hear these statistics from the liberal media all the time, but they're not right. Here's the real statistics from Fox 19. Ben Swan does a great job on this. Run that track, Derek.
New York City had a very special day Monday. In the city of more than 8.2 million people, there wasn't a single murder or report of gun or knife violence. No shootings, stabbings, or slashings in the Big Apple.
Police officials said they can't remember the last time that happened. The murder rate has been so low in New York City that the city's on track to record 400 murders this year. That would be the fewest in half a century.
That's quite a turnaround from 2 decades ago when New York saw more than 2,000 murders each year.
Okay.
That's less than the city of Detroit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Detroit's terrible. Detroit's absolutely terrible. It's crazy. But let's go with track four, Derek, because here's even some more statistics to show Mr. Cuomo's just being a hypocrite.
Where the argument falls apart is when you attempt to claim that fewer guns equals less crime. The U.S. has the highest gun ownership rate in the world, an average of 88 guns per 100 people. That puts it first in the world for gun ownership. Yemen is second with 54.8 guns per 100 people. So that means the U.S. has the highest gun murder rate as well, right? Well, no. Honduras, El Salvador, and Jamaica have higher rates. So do 24 other countries. The U.S., despite being number one in gun ownership, is number 28 in gun homicide, with a rate of 2.97 per 100,000 people. Of course, Piers Morgan isn't calling for the U.S. to be more like El Salvador and Honduras. He's calling for us to be more like Great Britain. So what do the numbers look like there? The U.K. has the second highest overall crime rate in the EU. The U.K. has the fifth highest robbery rate, the fourth highest burglary rate. But more importantly, the EU named Britain as the most violent country in the EU. In the U.K., there are 2,034 violent crimes per 100,000 people. That puts it way ahead of even South Africa, with a rate of 1,609 per 100,000. In the United States, we're not even in the top 10. The U.S. has a violent crime rate of 466 crimes per 100,000 residents.
All right, so we're five times less in violent crimes than Great Britain. So Piers Morgan and Andrew Cuomo and Barney Frank and the rest of these idiots who keep pushing gun control as being the solution are so far off base. And what bothers me is that they don't look at the data. The data speaks for itself. It's quite clear. Having a lot of guns in this country does not mean we have more gun violence.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. When you look at our society today, our society has gotten so dependent upon government, and our government now is playing on that to go ahead and use it as more control, so that we are continuously losing more and more and more of our rights. And again, our country was founded and based on people, on freedom of individualism and rights to go out and work hard and secure your piece of the American pie. And our government is basically taking that dream away from many people, because we have so many more people on entitlement today than are contributing to our society.
The highest welfare rates ever.
Ever.
Under Barack Hussein Obama. We're going to take a break, Derek, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on guns and gun rights. See you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Dawn Farm Education Series provides practical information about addiction recovery, family recovery, and related issues. How to support recovery and not support addiction will be presented on Tuesday, February 19th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And Recovery from Addiction and Christian Spirituality will be presented on Tuesday, February 26th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. It'll be at the St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. Admission is free and open to all. No registration is required. To learn more, call Dawn Farm at 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org. In an effort to help the bereaved cope with loss and remember those who have passed, Hospice of Michigan is providing patient families with memory bears made from the clothing of their loved one. The bears, which are 8 inches tall and made in patch quilt style, are created by Hospice of Michigan volunteers using cotton, wool, fleece, or flannel clothing that help the bereaved recall happy memories with their loved ones. Memory bears are available free of charge to all families of Hospice of Michigan patients. There is a limit of one bear per family, and bears will be made in the order of requests received. Those interested in volunteering their time and talent to creating memory bears or another of HOM's many volunteer programs should call 313-578-6259. You can learn more about Hospice of Michigan by visiting hom.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
As a referee, I pay attention for a living.
26,
While I'm busy watching the game, I need your help keeping an eye on the stands.
If you see something that doesn't look quite right, tell a law enforcement official.
We all play an important role in protecting our communities, and you can help.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority.
Us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m. it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back to the Drift. In the studios with me, Sam Iaquinto and Ed Gentile of Michigan Pond Hockey, and they are hanging out with me to discuss a little political talk. Thank you, gentlemen, for airing your opinions. Now, you're both gun owners. Ed, a big hunter?
You know, I wouldn't say that I'm a real big hunter. I do have a shotgun, but when I was growing up, deer hunted, duck hunted. You know, I've kind of gotten away from it, but you know, I'm still in it.
Yeah, it takes time to go out and hunt. It really does. I mean, I used to duck hunt too, and you know, by the time I got the shotgun that I really wanted and got my 4-man blind built, I stopped duck hunting. Yeah, that and the swans moved into my little private lake there and kept them away, but I think they're gone now as well. So, but it's important for us to have gun rights. The Second Amendment in the Constitution, the forefathers did put it in there for a reason, because you know what? The Second Amendment protects all our other amendments. You know, an armed society is a polite society. That may seem cliche, but there's more to it than that. And one of the reasons, I think the best reason, for having an armed population is it prevents other countries from thinking we're just going to roll in. You know, we talk about the movie Red Dawn and all these other things.
Right.
This is true. And one guy that puts – this is one of my favorite guys. Is I wish he would run for president. I don't know if he could win or not, but he would certainly be more entertaining. Chuck Woolery has his own take on the Second Amendment. Let's run with track five.
Number three. Assault weapons act as a deterrent against foreign invasion. During World War II, the Emperor of Japan instructed his commanders to plan an invasion of America. He felt very empowered after Pearl Harbor and believed our military to be very weak, which at the time it was. The commander-in-chief of the Japanese Navy, Isoroku Yamamoto, told the Emperor, and I quote, "You cannot invade the mainland of the United States. There would be a rifle behind every blade of grass." Notice, he did not talk about fearing the U.S. Army. It was the American people that he feared.
Yeah, and that's a true fact.
Right.
It's not Chuck Woolery blowing smoke. That is a fact. Yamamoto, I think, went to Yale. It was either Yale or Harvard. He attended college here in the United States before he became an admiral and got into the Japanese Navy. And he knew what would happen if they put Japanese troops on the mainland. They would be slaughtered. And that would happen to this day. Anybody that comes and invades this country is in for a very rude awakening, really.
Exactly. Because, again, we as American citizens are gun owners, and we believe in going ahead and keeping our society free from a sovereign nation. And Chuck Woolery, pretty interesting gentleman. I've met him numerous times. We at the marina that Max Marina in Whitmore Lake, we service several of his boats. It is really interesting to have a personal conversation with him. His beliefs are, you know, he's not your game show host anymore.
Right.
He's got some serious passion and beliefs about our society and where we need to go back to the basics of our founding fathers.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good conservative, and
yes,
he does it with a sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I really wish he would run for something. You know what I mean? He should have ran against Debbie Stabenow in this state. He might have won. But But that's one of the reasons, and there are a lot of reasons. Number one, it's in the Constitution. Number two, it's our right. Another reason is if someone breaks into your home, you know, the response time of police could be anywhere from 8 to 48 minutes. I mean, it's happened.
Yes.
Another host on the show had his house broken on this station, had his house broken into, and it took 48 minutes for the police to show up when he had a crazy person trying to break into his home. What do you do?
You have to defend yourself.
You have to defend yourself. That is your right. That's an inalienable right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? To be able to defend yourself, to defend your family.
You know, when you have your wife and your children and they're put in harm's way, you're going to do what you need to do to protect them.
Right. Yeah, one of the other things that bothers me is how they define assault rifles. You know, this is this crazy nonsense that Senator Dianne Feinstein out of California, you know, the last gun ban. And don't think that last gun ban did anything. One of the most heinous acts happened during the last assault rifle gun ban. That was Columbine. You know, people don't remember that. Columbine happened during the previous gun ban, which has now expired. And so it doesn't do anything. You know, the FBI statistics for 2011 are out. And total firearm deaths in the United States in 2011, 8,583. I'm sorry. 12,664. And that's down from 2007 when it was 14,916. So firearms deaths are actually dropping without a gun ban. Okay? Without the gun ban, they're dropping. Rifles in 2011, 323.
Wow.
Okay? Handguns, 6,220. So if you're going to do a gun ban, why would you even look at rifles?
Right.
What's the point?
I mean, you're not suggesting do a gun ban at all, you know, but again, they're focusing on really, again, back to the statement that I made earlier that my father ingrained in my head, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Right. Well, this is what the liberals do. They focus on the emotionalness of it.
Yes.
Oh, that big assault rifle looks deadly. It's terrible. Well, it's not very deadly compared to those handguns.
Right.
Okay. Even, let's see, knives or cutting instruments, 1,694.
Wow.
Six times the number of rifle deaths. How about knives or how about blunt objects, clubs and hammers, 496. So more people have died by hammer than have died by assault rifle. And yet these imbeciles in Congress are trying to ban assault weapons, thinking that the guns are the problem.
Just like you said, Gary, they're feeding on the emotion of our society that has gotten some fears into it. You know, the biggest key is just educating. We need to educate our society, not take more and more of our rights away. We just, again, if you have an educated society about guns and what they do and how they do it, that is the key. Not taking away our rights to be gun owners and not limiting them.
That's right. So what you can do at home, Debbie Stabenow, the U.S. Senate, 231-929-1031. That's 231-929-1031. You tell Debbie to keep their hands off our guns, her and Carl Levin. You can go to thedailydrift.com, and there's a tab there for all the contact numbers of our congressmen and senators. Contact them. Tell them, keep your hands off my guns, or I will actively participate in getting you one elected. Until next week, we will see you. Go to thedailydrift.com, currentonline.com, and
michiganpondhockey.com.
michiganpondhockey.com, and we'll see you next week.